Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to continue a little bit on this thing about who we are, about being priests and kings. Everybody say priests and kings. We wasn't able to finish that message the first day. And let's see, family. Oh, I need to announce that. Is that what you put that up? Family fun day today from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. How many of you like fun? How many of you like family? How many of you like days? You know, you're in one and you're not even raising your hand. I mean, you're in a day that God made and you're not. Yeah, you know, I like. How many of you like the day the Lord made? All right. But yeah, come on down and be a part of that this afternoon, and we're going to have a great time. And listen, I thank God that we canceled the Dunkin' booth. I said, God, it's going to be cool, you know, and all of a sudden we canceled it. And I'm like, you answer prayers. You really do. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be talking a little bit to you today, finishing up hopefully about this thing about being priests and kings. 1 Peter chapter 2, we talked about, he says, put away all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Now that's a mouthful. Everybody say, put it away. Put it away, all the mean-spirited stuff, all the guile, which is the deception. Put away the deception, put away the hypocrisy, put away the envy, and put away all the slander. Just put it away, like newborn babies, like long for the pure milk of the word, that by it, the purity of his word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Many people will have salvation, but will not continue to grow in their life in respect to that salvation, in respect to that change. In other words, we have our ticket to go to heaven, and that's all I need to do, and that's all that's left to do, and that's all I'm supposed to do. And that is not true. Amen. But we should continue to grow in respect to our salvation. And we do that by a desire for the Word of God. Everybody say desire. For the word of God. He said, we should long for it, desire it. He said, you have tasted the goodness of the Lord and come into him as a living stone rejected by men, by choice and precious in the sight of God. Everybody say precious. Precious. That word precious means extremely valuable beyond the count of the cost, beyond the dollar amount. In other words, it's so valuable you just can't, well, it's going to be this much. No, it's so valuable. It is priceless. It is like that. He said, you are priceless in his sight. Yes. Tell that to somebody. See, to him, you're priceless. Everybody say priceless. Priceless. You know, I told that to years and years ago, and he said, is that the same thing? I told a guy that, or something about being priceless, you know, and he said, does that mean it's worth nothing? And I said, no, it's not what it means, you know. But he was looking at it, no price tag on it, so it must not be any value. But he said, you're priceless. You are priceless. You are precious and you are priceless. You are beyond, the amount of count. You know, and that's how he thinks of you. And you're living stones. You, in fact, are being in the process of being built up to a spiritual house. Everybody say, we are being built up to a spiritual house. We're just not a house that you come and you just praise God and do that, but we're being built spiritually. We are being built spiritually. Yes or no? Yes. If we're not being built spiritually, then we're missing the mark anyway. Right? So he said, we need to continue to grow in respect to our salvation. How many of you are born again in this house? I want you to wave at me this way. You're born again in this house. All right, maybe not here, but you're born again. Now listen, you're not through yet. Amen. You're not through growing yet. You're not through maturing yet. You've still got, just like me, I'm not through yet. Amen. Everybody says, thank God he's not through. You know, Brenda says, you know, why is it that you act like a little boy? I said, because I am one. You know, I'm not grown up yet. I'm still growing. You know, pray for me, Brenda. I'm still growing up. I'm getting there. You know, But anyway, he goes on. He says, "You're growing up, and you're going to be. You are a spiritual or a holy priesthood. You're a holy priesthood." I'm going to drop down to verse 9, and it says, and we read some of these last 2 weeks ago, "But you're a chosen race, a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people of God's own possession." In other words, that's the peculiar part, a people of God's own possession, "that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." You was called out of the darkness into light. You say, tell somebody, you were called out of darkness into light. You know, people say, you know, well, why is it that we need to know that? We need to constantly be reminded. Yes. Truth never gets old. It gets deeper.
Yes. Deeper.
Truth doesn't get old. It gets deeper. Yes. Amen. By the way, that's not in my notes. I just got that. So I'm going to write that down. It gets deeper. What'd you say?
Deep.
It gets deeper. And he goes on. One translation says this: "But you are God's chosen treasure." This is out of the Passion. "You are God's chosen treasure." Man, think about that. You're not just a number. You're not just a piece of data. You are his. He bought you. Amen. And you are precious to him. Beyond, you're priceless. You're precious. And you are a chosen treasure of God. Well, we really need to capture that and get that wrapped around our minds and get our minds wrapped around that thought as well. You know, that you are God's chosen treasure. Chosen treasure of all the things. There's one song that we sing about him being in us, and of all the things that he picked. Dan, do you know the name of that song? Of all the things he could have chosen to dwell in, he bless the Lord. Of all the things he could have chosen to dwell in, he chose you. We're talking about the Creator God. Think about it. Of all the things he could have chosen to dwell inside, he chose you.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Oh, tell the person he chose me. I mean, you know, he chose them too, but he chose you. He could have chose a lot of different things to dwell in, but he chose man. He chose you. Why? Because you're a treasure. Yes, I am. I like that. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm a treasure. You know, walk around sometimes saying, you know, I'm God's chosen treasure. You can't do that with an arrogant spirit, then you're wrong. Then you're in a bad place. But I'm God's chosen. We need to know that. We're his chosen treasure. God's chosen treasure. He goes on, he says, you're God's chosen treasure, and you're priests who are kings. You are priests who are kings. Say, I'm a kingly priest. Listen, he didn't, and the reason he did that, because it's the reason he came as a king, because the Bible says that he was born a king. Born a king. That's the reason he came as a king. He had to redefine what kingship is, because earth made it a little bit perverted in some ways. But he had to redefine kingly and priestly attributes. And everything he did as a king, and he did as the great high priest. Giving us a model, giving us an example, steps that we are to follow in his life. Giving us an example to look at. Priests and kings. So we have a kingly anointing. We have a priestly anointing. No, I don't really have it. Yeah, you do. We're just ignorant of it most of the time. And the enemy would rather, he can't take it away from you. He cannot take it away from you. He cannot take it away from you. But if he can get you not to think about it or become aware of it, then you won't function in it. If he can just discredit a little bit and get you unaware that you're a king, unaware that you're a priest, because the Bible said, we read last week, it's over in Revelation chapter, you don't have to turn there, it's over in Revelation chapter 5. It says, he has, this is chapter 1. He said, he has loved you. He has washed, matter of fact, it's in your newsletter. Unto him who has loved you, he's washed us from our sins with his own blood, and he made us. Everybody say, he made us. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory. Listen, he made us. You didn't, you know, somebody told me one time, said, I'm a self-made man. And I said, yeah, you look it. Now, it wasn't a stranger. I wouldn't tell a stranger that, but it was a friend of mine. He said, I'm a self-made man. I said, yeah, you look it. You know, self-made man don't look too good. You know, but when he makes you a king and when he makes you a priest, it's a done deal. But the enemy wants to keep us unaware. He wants to drop our awareness of who we are and who we are and who our true identity is. See, that's the reason we have, because he made us that way, we have a responsibility to see us the same way he sees us. Did you get that?
Yes.
We have a responsibility to see us as he sees us. But if the enemy can sort of distract us from seeing that, then we will function in something else that we're seeing.
Yes.
If you see only the chaos and see only the trouble and see only the gloom, despair, and agony on me, that's how we'll be living it out. You know. You know, we Christians need to really have a pep to their step. You know, I could hear Mike testify about his father, you know, and the long, but when you walk through that, and that's the reason, listen, it is very important. And you think about it, say, why do we need to hear that? Because we're all touched by it. And you need to hear people that go through it. And you need to understand that as they mourn, we mourn. As they rejoice, we rejoice. And I told him, I said, you buried your daddy one day and out comes a baby the next. I said, you know, God, that's God's blessing. It really is. He went home. You know, his daddy left to go to his final resting place and be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he's present with the Lord. You know, he better off than we are. About like that, been people, you know, that said the preacher was preaching and said, hey, who all wants to go to heaven? Everybody raising their hand except this one man. And they said, right, sir, I noticed you didn't raise your hand to go to heaven. He said, well, no. He said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, nah, yeah, I do. He said, well, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, I thought you was getting up a busload now. I want to go, but I don't want to go right now. Anyway, though. The enemy would rather us walk around as people who are defeated, who are in bondage, who have the mindset that our God's left us, or he doesn't take care of us, he doesn't take good care of his children, and the enemy would rather have that image out of God's children to come forth, because that's not going to encourage anybody to become one, to become a Christian, to become a follower of Christ. You know, our lights should so shine,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Our light. You know, do you know that you have light?
Yes.
Do you understand that when he says, "I am the light of the world," and then he's about to leave, and then he says, "You are the light of the world." Do you know why he can say that? Do you know why he can tell you that you are the light of the world? It's because he's touched you. Anytime you get touched by the Lord, it's light. It is light, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And anytime there's an encounter, that's what's going to come, a way, a truth, and a life. And he says, you are the light of the world. Why? And he's better for me to go away than stay. It's better for you that I go away. Think about it. It's better for you if I go away. Why is that? Because who's coming? Guess who's coming? Guess who's coming? Holy Spirit's coming. Guess who? I mean, Holy Spirit was already present, but yet he said he's coming. Well, I just love the way God just messes with us. Holy Spirit's coming, but he's already here. He's coming. Why is he coming? He's going to make you and me like him. that's the reason, listen, that's the reason he had to go. He had to go and be glorified before the Holy Spirit came inside us. You know why? Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to make us like Jesus. If Jesus had not been crucified and glorified, he would have made us like the earthly Jesus. Ooh. But it had to be, he had to wait. Holy Spirit could not come till he's already glorified. Once he's glorified, now that's the Jesus, the glorified Jesus. You hearing me? Why? Because he's going to make you, he's going to guide you in the truth. He's going to bring you the truth. He's going to teach you the truth. Why? Because you're a priest and kings. You're going to make us just like him. Why do we need to be just like him? Why do we need to be conscious of the fact that we're becoming just like Jesus? Why is that? Because our assignment is so big that we have in front of us. We don't have a little job. We have a huge job in front of us. We're being commissioned to go out and show forth the very glories, the excellencies of who he is. You can't do that on a roundabout, you know, I'm just going to read one verse today, one verse tomorrow, the daily bread thing. I don't mind the daily bread thing you pull out and read, you know, but it's going to take more than that. It really is. It's going to take, it's got a hunger and thirst. Those are hunger and thirst. But see, the enemy tries to trap us into thinking that we're nothing or that we're not going to make a difference. That's what we say. We love God, love people, make a difference. Love God, love people, make a difference. We need to be a people that makes a difference no matter where we go. Doesn't make a difference if it's Walmart, grocery store, filling station, neighborhood, school, hospital, wherever it is that we are, we need to make a difference. Why? Because we have everything that everybody say this, he's given me everything that I need to do what he wants me to do. Say that again. He's given me everything that I need to do what he wants me to do. Boy, that's powerful. David, ain't that powerful? That's powerful. God's already given you everything that you need to be able to do what he's asking you to do. So one of the first things we don't need to say is, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? Because somebody's been whispering to you that you can't do it, and God says, yes, you can. I've already enabled you. You know, this whole thing is divine enablement for us to be able to fulfill our priestly and our kingly selves. That's who we are. That's not who we're becoming. That's who we are. That's who we are. He said, I have made you priests and kings. You know, but the enemy wants to distort our view, and our identity is built on how he sees reality. That's the reason we cannot look at the reality of something that's out here. We need to check on God. How do you see this? How do you see this situation? Well, it looks bad out here. How do you see this situation? How do you see it? Now, why is that? Because a king's not going to pass the buck. King's going to take care of it. That's the reason he says you're a priest and kings, because everything that you face, you're going to handle it as a priest and a king. You know what a priest does? A priest goes in and represents you to God. Oh, that'll get you thinking. So your priest, what is your priestly state then? I mean, how does that function? You are here to intercede for other people that don't know God. You're here to be the difference, to be the joint between, to be the link between them and God. And then they also represented God to the people. So when you're out and about, you're representing who God is to the people. That's the reason it says you need every bit of him to be able to do that. But see, the enemy wants to say, now, you know, he wants to keep the church asleep concerning who God says we are. And what God said, he wants to make the... I'm just going to rest here in the Lord. Look, that's not the kind of rest he's talking about. Rest means that when everything is just falling apart, that there's a rest inside you that says, I can get through this. What the song did we sing about? Huh? through it all, through, what did it say? Through it, I'm going to trust in you through it all. Look, we cannot build cocoons and say, well, you know, I'm cocooning myself. This stuff ain't going to touch me. Well, how long you think that'll last? One little from God, and it's like, it's gone. They might mistreat me if I go to the darkness. Well, they're no might. They will mistreat you. But your mistreatment is an open door. Them mistreating you is an open door for you to be kingly and priestly and love them. Boy, I tell you what, it's good today. It really is. It's good today. He wants to keep. Oh, we got a video. We are so numbed out to some of the things that God says that we are. And I'm telling you, it's about to explode. I'm telling you, it's about to explode. But if he can, he will get you to think that you're nothing. And that you're just a mere men and women. I'm just a mere person. Look, you are an empowered person with the Holy Spirit. You have got the resurrection power inside your soul, inside your body, inside your spirit. The very spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling inside you. What's your excuse now? I don't have one, do you? I don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. But see, the enemy wants to dampen everything. No, don't raise the awareness of that. Just keep. But see, we have got to be at a place that our awareness is awakened, and we are conscious of who we are. Everybody say, who I am, and who he is, and what I'm here to do. See, we're not ignorant to that. We're here for a purpose. Cal and Glenda, good to see you guys. Y'all been through a fire in your home and everything. It is good to see you in this house. Amen. Good to see you. It really is. Been praying for you, loving on you. And every time we ask Glenda, what can we do? Pray. Pray. Glenda, can we do anything? Pray. I mean, she's all, just pray for her. Just pray for her. And we did. We have been. But anyway, the enemy wants to keep you and I ignorant or lost with the possibility of the awareness of who we are and what we have. Yeah. Who we are and what we have. See, we need to build a generation of kids. Hear me now. We need to build a generation of kids that knows who they are and who God says they are and function in who they are. With knowing what they have of the resources of heaven, that they have all of the resources of heaven to do it with. Yes. Who we are and what we have. All right, let's watch this video.
You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on. Don't dodge me. Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait.
Come on. Come on!
Would you slow down? That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Don't leave me.
Was that? The weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah, you see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No. Not a stick. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Go on. Get out of here.
Now, you can go some over dinner or lunch today and say, you know, we watched part of Lion King today in church. Watch cartoon in church. Really? Y'all watch cartoons? Oh, yeah. What'd you learn? Huh? What, one of the lines in there says,
remember.
Do what? Remember. One of the lines in there said, you are more than what you have become. Boy, that spoke to me, did it? You are more than what you have become right now. You know, he had to, huh?
More than your past.
And you're more than your past. You know, so one of the things that holds you up is your past. If you start dwelling on your past, guess who that belongs to? God. Who does your now belong to? God. How about your future? God. See, he bought your past. That's the reason he said nothing can separate you. Nothing's going to be able to separate you from the love of God. And he says, not the present. What's the rest of it, Doug Logan? Nor the things to come. Not the present or the things to come is going to have separate you from. Well, how about my past? It don't exist. It's been bought.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's the reason he hit him with a stick. And he said, oh, you hit me. He said, oh, it's in the past. What does it matter? He said, but it still hurts. He said, oh, the past can hurt. But we need to be able to move on from our past to be able to see what's happening in our future and who we are now. So why was the little monkey so happy that he was leaving? Because the little one was supposed to be king. He was running from his past because he didn't have a good past there. But he knew God was calling. His rightful place is right there. Your rightful place is being a priest and a king that God has made you to be. That is your rightful place. Don't let the enemy bring your past up to you and say, well, you know, you can't do anything because of this. You know who would be disqualified if we're measured by our past?
Everybody.
Everybody would be disqualified. But no, he said, I've taken care of your past. That's the reason he didn't say nothing. He didn't even say he said, the past don't even exist. Now exists, and you're not promised the future. But if you do have the future, he's there too. You know, he. Well, there's a song by John Mark McMillan. Isn't it John Mark McMillan? John Mark. You are my first. You are my last. You are my future and my past.
Yes.
You are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. God's everything. He's everything that we need. And but like I said, we listen to this. We listen to all these things. You know, some of the things real quick that will keep you away from being aware is your past. Yes. Move on from your past. Forget those things that are behind. Yes. And get to moving forward. How so? As God sees you. Yes. Not as your neighbor sees you, not as one of your relatives sees you, not as one of the people of the haters that hate you. Don't see yourself that way. See yourself the way God sees. You have a responsibility to see. You and I have the responsibility to be able to see us as God sees us. We have that responsibility to be awakened and operate functional as kings and priests. But you know, we're not here. But that's the reason he didn't want to us for to be able to take on the kingly and priestly role with an understanding of how priests are on this, our kings are on this earth. He said the Gentiles have the authority, but they use it to lord over. He said, not so with you. Everybody say, not so with me. He didn't make you a king so you could put somebody else down or so you could lord over somebody. He didn't make you a priest so you wouldn't care about people. Now, that's the reason he had to redefine what kings and priests are. Not the old way, not the world's way of what kings and priests operate. No, it is how he sees it. It's how he sees you operate. Why? Because you're here. You're here to be able to use the very resources of heaven with all the authority that he's given you and all the resources of heaven to be able to help others sufficiently. You're here for others. If not, he'd have just took us on when we said, I do Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Well, there's no other function. No, you're here for other people. You and I are here for other people. You and I are here to make a difference as a priest and a king to be able to functionally help others with our authority, not to lord over them. Amen. Not to be able to finger point and say, well, you know, your church, your church, and this church. That's not our job. Amen. Our job is to love people. We have the authority and the resources to fully serve people the way they need to be served. No, I'm a king. Do I have to serve? Yes. Jesus did. And if you're going to be great at it, you're going to serve everybody. Yes. You can't just pick and choose. You can't serve your little clique and think that's enough. That's right. I'm meddling, I know. See, the whole thing is about, you know, you can't take this thing and say, well, I'm a priest and a king and I'm here to lord it over. You know, you're not here. Jesus says, that's not so with you. You don't do it that way, because he didn't do it that way. But he was Lord. He was Lord of all lords. He was King of all kings, and he was God of all gods. Still is. Still is. Isn't he wonderful? You know, one other thing is if you stay sin conscious, or if you stay this lower arena conscious more than the consciousness of God. Of the consciousness of God and your right. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first. The kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God over here. And his righteousness. You know what the kingdom of God is? The Bible explains what the kingdom of God is. See, we need to make sure that we have the kingdom of God properly defined. The kingdom of God, Paul said, is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. If kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, why did he add righteousness? He's making a point. You know, O.A. Fish, I called him this morning. I asked him to bring some of these little books, Discovering New Horizons. Great little book. The thrust of this book, this little pamphlet, is to get you to quit living beneath your means. Quit living beneath what he's already... He draws a horizontal line, and you begin to see that there's everything below, but everything God's provided is above. We live below the line of God's provisions.
Yes. Yes.
We live below the line of what God says, who God says we are. We live below. Why? Because we have mindsets that think this way and think that way. You know, but when you start having divine thinking, yes, it will lead you to kingdom thinking, yes, and it will lead you to kingdom living. But if you don't start having divine thinking and think the way he said, well, I can't know his thoughts. He can show you his thoughts. And the Bible also says that you have the mind. We have the mind of Christ. It is available for us to think that way. But we cannot do that living beneath the privileges that he's given us. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
It's a great little book. He brought some. And if we don't have enough, for everybody, if you want one, get one afterwards. Why? Because he talks about this thing about being righteous and God conscious, kingdom conscious, the kingdom of God conscious, the righteousness conscious of who we are, not what the world says we are, but who he says we are. Isn't that good? You know why? Because we've got the fullness of his destiny at our his destiny for us at our fingertips, and we're living beneath it. It's almost like the old analogy, you know, you're living like a pauper and you've got $1 million in the bank, but you won't go to the bank and get it. Why? That's settling for less. Why? Wanting more. Want more and you'll start settling. Don't settle for the status quo and all this. Understand that, you know, he has everything, all the resources we need. Our assignment is so big, it is more than we can do. Listen, if you can do your assignment with your own ability, you're below the line. Why? Because his assignment's going to be, I can't do this, but I can through you. I can do all things through Christ who... Amen. Oh, isn't he good? Isn't he good? You're a priest in kings. Don't ever forget it. Become aware of it. Learn more. When you see priests in the Bible, start studying what that means. When you see kings in the Bible, then not the earth, not the wicked kings, but understand about the King Jesus. See what he does. See how he operates. See the value. You put value on what he puts value on. You know, the anointing that was placed upon him, the anointing of gladness, the joy and gladness was, you know, he was given that anointing. He had three anointings, by the way. He was given that anointing by his Father, and he says, because you have loved righteousness, but he didn't stop. Anybody know the rest of it? And you've hated evil. This anointing is on you because you have loved righteousness and you've hated evil. Love righteousness, hate evil. Love righteousness, hate evil. You know, somebody said the difference, but you know, what is the difference between secular and sacred? That's a date one. There's not a difference between secular and sacred. I mean, it's good or evil. Do you drive a sacred car? You know, well, that's a sacred tree, and this is a secular tree. No, no. Why? Because God made all that stuff. The whole earth is his. The whole earth is his. Why? It's good and evil. Don't get caught up in the thing because you work a secular job that you cannot do sacred ministry. It's not true. Where you're sent and where you're working, where you are, that is your ministry. Be who you are. Be that priest and king and be there. I'm telling you, there's more I've got to share with you, but I just don't have the time. I'll take another week off and come on back again. How about that? No, I'm messing with you. Did you get anything out of this today? Look, this has to be applicable. This has to be something that I can take and learn, but I can walk out. If you can't walk out, if there's no walking out to what you've learned, you're going to get puffed up. You're going to know a lot of information but can't do anything. And next thing you know, people don't want to be around you because you know so much. You ever been around one of those? Have you ever been around one of those? You start talking about, said, oh, I got one of them, but it's better than that. Yeah, well, you know, what about this? And all of a sudden something great's happened in your life. Oh, that happened to me 3 years ago. I mean, it's like, you know, you just can't get up on. You know why? Because they just know too much. Why? It's not because it's not practical to them. No humility. And you start working this thing out, you're going to get humbled in a hurry. Why? Because you need him to make it be accomplished. That's the way of Jesus. Amen. Yes.
That we be shown in each of our lives, wherever we are in this community. No exclusions. Every person here today is to hear this. You are to be swept clean by the power of God, by His Holy Spirit. Your past, whatever's happening in the present, it is to be a blessing unto Him and a light to all men and women around you.
Amen. Come on up here, brother. That's going to be our closing blessing. Everybody's going to stand to your feet. Listen, when the Lord begins to speak, we need to listen. You know, because the Bible says when there's one here that's supposed to be speaking or supposed to be speaking, and somebody else get a word, let them speak.
Amen.
But it needs to be God. Amen. Come on up here, brother. I want you to speak that blessing. Just tell us what you said again over all of us, and after this, we'll be dismissed. Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
All right. So, calm your spirit. Calm your soul. Take a deep breath. Let's breathe in the word of the Lord from Him.
The Lord desires that every one of us here today hear that He is speaking to us individually. He does not want you to miss the fresh move of His Spirit that is coming. There are new things that are happening. He is bringing them about, but you must allow Him to sweep you clean. When we were during our praise and worship this morning, I saw a broom come across the congregation. And there were particles of debris all around, and the broom began to move everything clean. And as the broom cleansed the area where we were meeting and worshiping, the cross of Jesus shone through. It became more and more brilliant, a beautiful gold, and it became so large that it filled the house. So wherever we are, in our workplaces, in our homes, in the community at large, this is His desire for all of us.
Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Means so be it. Let it happen. I'm here. Be it unto me. Mary, be it unto me as you have spoken. Can you do that? Be it unto me as you have spoken. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.